Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to discuss this question. In Galatians chapter 5, when the Apostle Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, is he saying the fruit singular of the Spirit, or is he saying the fruits plural of the Spirit? What do you think, listening audience? Is it the fruit of the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit? Some of you are going, wait a second, let me try to remember what was preached from the pulpit, the message I heard on this. Unfortunately, you may have heard fruits, plural of the Spirit. Well, guess what? It's not fruits of the Spirit. It is singular, fruit of the Spirit. And it's here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that Paul says, but the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says, against such things there is no law. A person who consistently bears fruit of the Spirit in the power of the Spirit will not have to worry about the external restraints of the law, because the internal restraints of God, the Holy Spirit, are allowing this person to live a God-honoring life. So as we see here, it is the fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the acts of the flesh. Acts meaning plural. The acts of the flesh, Paul said, are obvious. In the area of sex, you have sexual immorality. The Greek word is porneia, which refers to all kinds of illicit sexual activity, including public and private sexual activity, immoral sex, whether a person is married or not married, natural or unnatural sex, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual, bestiality, pornography, masturbation, incest. That is what porneia is, sexual immorality. Paul says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, porneia, impurity, and debauchery. Debauchery, the Greek word, is aselgeia, which literally means without shame. A person who is living in the field of the flesh and who is producing acts of the flesh in the area of sex gets to the point where they are willing to go with anyone, do anything, no matter how crazy, how dirty, how impure, and they have absolutely zero shame in doing it. Paul says the acts of the flesh are obvious in the area of sex, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. In the area of religion, yes, people living in the field of the flesh, they worship, but they're idolaters, and they get involved in all kinds of occult practices and witchcraft. In the area of how they deal with other people, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, and orgies, and the like. Paul said, I warn you, as I told you before, that those who live like this in a continual, habitual way is the way it says it in the Greek. The Greek word is prosantes, meaning an ongoing, continuous way of living when it comes to sex, when it comes to false religion, when it comes to hating of others. Paul says those who live like this will never inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're not real believers. They don't have God the Holy Spirit in them. They are simply being led by the sin nature. They are playing around and living in the field of the sin nature, and they are producing acts of the sin nature, which are horrendous. In fact, John Calvin says we never truly perceive our depravity till the tree has been fully made known by its fruits. Jesus said you can tell the tree by its fruit. A person who is continually involved in sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery is not a real believer. A person who is consistently involved in idolatry and witchcraft is not a real believer. A person who is consistently being a person of hatred and discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness and orgies, a person like that's not a real believer. However, Paul said in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, when it comes first and foremost to our relationship with God. Patience, kindness, and goodness, when it comes to our relationship with others. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, when it comes to our relationship with ourselves. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is singular, while the acts of the flesh are plural. Meaning that the fruit of the Spirit, it's not only singular, but they are multiple characteristics of but one fruit. Meaning that these characteristics, love, peace, patience, and so forth, they cannot be produced in isolation from each other. The Holy Spirit will always bear those ninefold characteristics in a believer, even if all of those characteristics are not fully evident always in the believer. In other words, the Holy Spirit never, ever fails to produce fruit, some fruit. But that's not what God's goal is for your life. Jesus tells us in John 15, he says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Why? So that it will be even more fruitful. Down in verse 8, Jesus said, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So back in Galatians, when Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is, and he goes on, the ninefold fruit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit always bears that fruit. That is one fruit, right? Now, that means, Christian, you can't live with the excuse and say, well, I just can't be patient. You've heard people say that all the time. I'm just not a patient person. Well, wait a second. Is God the Holy Spirit in you? Yeah. Well, if God the Holy Spirit is in you, guess what, Christian? As he leads you in the field of the Spirit, as you walk by the Spirit, as you are filled with the Spirit, guess what's going to happen? You are going to produce, by the power of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will produce in and through you, patience. Just like he will produce love, joy, peace, and so forth. So, again, you may show a little bit of patience, but God's not done with you. He wants you to show a lot of patience. And how does that all work? Well, how do you bear fruit of the Spirit? Well, the first thing is up in verse 16 of Galatians 5, Paul says you have to walk by the Spirit. In other words, you have to live by the Spirit. This is your daily lifestyle. In fact, that is a command. You need to walk continuously and habitually by the Spirit. Why? So that you will not gratify the desires of your sin nature. Because your sin nature wants to produce acts of the sin nature. And we saw how hideous those acts are. So if you walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, here's the good news, Christian. You are not going to produce those acts of the sin nature. You will produce fruit of the Spirit. But the natural question is, how is it that you walk by the Spirit? Well, Ephesians 5, verse 18. Paul gives us a command and he says, don't get drunk on wine because that leads to debauchery. Instead, he says, and here's the command, be filled with the Spirit. There it is. You have to be filled with the Spirit so that you are walking by the Spirit in the field of the Spirit as you are being led by the Spirit. And guess what? You will produce fruit of the Spirit. You will produce love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So you've got to be filled with the Spirit. That is a command. And again, in Ephesians, we see the result of that. The way you'll start speaking to others, you'll be speaking to them with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. The way you speak to the Lord and worship Him, you'll make music in your heart to the Lord. Your attitude towards God of thankfulness and gratitude, you'll be giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That happens when you're filled with the Spirit. The question is then, naturally, how is a person filled with the Spirit? Well, we get the answer in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. You want to know how you're filled with the Spirit? Here it is, a command. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. There it is, my friend. You are not filled with the Spirit by loud music and a big rock show at a church with all kinds of light shows and all kinds of technology gimmicks. What that does is give you an adrenaline emotional rush. That does not fill you with the Spirit. And the minute you walk out that church, the minute you face this tough thing called life, that emotional rush dies down. A person is filled by the Spirit when they have the Word of God richly dwelling in them. Where do you get that from, Andrew? How did that? I don't know. That doesn't say you're filled with the Spirit. Oh, look at the results. Just like in Ephesians, when he said, be filled with the Spirit. Here he says, let the Word of Christ richly dwell among you. Here's the results. You know how you talk to people? With psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. You know your attitude towards God? You're singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whether in word or deed, you know what you're doing? You're giving thanks to God through Christ, and you're doing it in the name of Christ. That's being filled with the Spirit. The same results here in Colossians 3, by having the word of Christ richly dwell in you, it's the same results in Ephesians 5 when Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. It's the same thing. You're filled with the Spirit by having the word of Christ richly dwelling in you. That's how a person's filled with the Spirit. Then you're able to walk in the Spirit. Then you're able to produce fruit of the Spirit. And that is how you bring glory to God. More on that when we come back.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hot Topics, where we're discussing these questions. In Galatians chapter 5, when Paul says, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, is he talking about fruit singular, or is he talking about fruit plural? Now, if you were with us on the first part of the show, we made it very clear that Paul is talking about fruit singular, as opposed to the acts of the flesh, which are plural. When Paul says the fruit of the Spirit, and then he gives the nine characteristics, he's basically giving us multiple characteristics of but one fruit. And they cannot be produced in isolation from each other. The Spirit never fails to produce some fruit. So Christian, when you're walking in the Spirit, when you're filled with the Spirit, and you are producing fruit of the Spirit in the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is going to produce love, joy, and peace. The Holy Spirit is going to produce patience, kindness, goodness, The Holy Spirit is going to produce faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit will always produce some fruit. And that means that none of us as Christians have an excuse to say, well, okay, I can be kind, I can be gentle, I can be a person of faithfulness, but this thing about patience, no way. No way. Self-control, no way. What do you mean no way? You can't divide the one fruit. You know what I'm saying? You can divide the acts of the sin nature. There are many things that are going on there. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, it is singular fruit. And the Holy Spirit, when he bears fruit, will produce some fruit. But as we saw in the front of the show, God wants more fruit. And so, here's how it works. The Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, Christian, he leads you. You don't have to pray to him and ask him to lead you. He's already doing it. Okay? We know from Romans 8:14, those who are children of God are led by the Spirit of God. So Christian, the good news is the Holy Spirit's already leading you. However, we have an active part in this. What is that? Galatians 5:16. We must walk or live by the Spirit. We don't just sit back and say, okay, Holy Spirit, lead me. Yes, he leads you, and we're passive on that part. But we also have to be active. We have to walk, follow, live by the Spirit. In other words, we have to be filled with the Spirit. How are we filled with the Spirit? By letting God's Word richly dwell in us. Listen to me very carefully. Loud music, tear-jerking messages that pull on your heartstrings, all kinds of fantastic, technologically wowing shows that go on at a lot of these church concerts, okay, that are called church services, that is not being filled with the Spirit. Singing the same song or the same verse in a song 35 times in a row, okay, where your mind shuts off, the lights are turned down low, okay, and everybody's chanting the same thing, that is not being filled with the Spirit. In fact, that's very dangerous. That is opening the person up to maybe some evil spirits. You don't shut your mind off. You are filled with the Spirit when the Word of God richly dwells in you. The more you read the Word of God, the more you meditate on the Word of God, the more God's Word is in you, the more you're filled with the Spirit. Therefore, the more you're able to walk by the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and be led by the Spirit. And the result is you will bear fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits, fruit of the Spirit. You will be more loving towards the Lord. You will have more joy in the Lord. You will have more peace in your relationship with the Lord. Would you like that? Then be filled with the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. You're going to have more patience when it comes to your relationship with others. You're going to have more kindness and goodness towards others. You want to have that? You bear fruit of the Spirit. How do you do that? You got to be filled with the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit in the field of the Spirit. When it comes to yourself, you're going to be a more faithful person. Faithful to God, faithful to others, faithful to yourself. You're going to be a more gentle person. You're going to have this attitude that you don't get easily ruffled. You're going to be a person who has self-control. You're not going to be out of control. You're not going to be involved in the acts of the sin nature where you get involved in fits of rage. No. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control, gentleness, and all that. How does that happen? You got to walk by the Spirit. How do you walk by the Spirit? Live by the Spirit? You got to be filled with the Spirit. How do you do that? The Word of God needs to richly dwell in you. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, the totality of your being, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This, he says, is your true and proper worship. Notice he didn't say true and proper worship is loud, head-banging, mind-numbing music. No. It is offering yourself as a living sacrifice. It is submitting to the Spirit. It is walking by the Spirit. It is being filled with the Spirit. You're not conforming to the pattern of this world. That's what the sin nature does. Rather, you're being transformed How are you being transformed? By the renewing of your mind. It's your mind. Your mind needs to be taught God's truth. And as your mind is taught God's truth then sinks down into your heart. Your heart, by the way, which Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17:9, is wicked and deceitful. But when God's word gets tucked down into your heart, as the psalmist says in Psalm 119, when the word is tucked in your heart, it protects you from sinning. You see, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you're able to test and approve what God's will is. You now have what's called discernment. You're able to test God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. And the way your mind is transformed is by letting God's word richly dwell in you. That's called being filled with the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, living in the Spirit, and you will bear fruit of the Spirit. As the Spirit bears his fruit, you will start to see more love in your life, more peace in your life, more joy in your life. And it's interesting. The love, joy, and peace are not going to be based on external circumstances. You could have all kinds of troubles going on. You could have all kinds of challenges. In fact, didn't Jesus say in John 16:33, he says, in this world, you're going to have what? Trouble. He says, but in me, you will have peace. You see? Doesn't mean that just because you're walking by the Spirit, that you're going to avoid difficulties in life. It doesn't mean that there aren't going to be challenges. But what's going to happen is when you're walking by the Spirit, you're going to be bearing fruit of the Spirit in the midst of those challenges. And what's going to end up happening is you're going to still be able to have true love, joy, and peace in the Lord, no matter what's going on outside of you. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be a person who is gentle and under self-control and faithful, regardless of your circumstances. You're going to be able to be kind and good to others and patient with others, even with others who challenge you, because you are bearing fruit of the Spirit. You're able to find this inexpressible joy and peace in the Lord, knowing that regardless of what's happening, all is actually okay. All is okay in your relationship with God. And guess what? When all is okay in your relationship with God, then everything else is okay. Because that's the only thing that matters. Is everything right in the Lord's sight when it comes to you? When you're filled with the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit and you're bearing fruit of the Spirit, my friend, you can just be still, as the psalmist says in Psalm 46:10, and know that the Lord is Lord. You see? You can just be still. And again, doesn't mean that you're just walking in like twilight land where your head's above the clouds and you know, you're just ignoring everything that's going here on earth. No. You're still living in reality. But again, you have a different perspective. Fruit of the Spirit is just something that's just so amazing that, again, you start to love not as an emotion, but it's a choice. You choose to love. It's giving love. It's sacrificial living love. You know what kind of love it is? It's agape love. It's the supreme love that God shows. Now, we're not going to be perfect in it, but nevertheless, you're going to have such an intense love for God because that's what the fruit of the Spirit is, love and love for God, because you're just going to be so grateful for what God has done for you through Christ and what he continues to do for you. And that love for God is going to just increase. And again, it's not going to increase because you're getting hyped up on loud music. That is just an adrenaline rush. Your love for God increases the more you're in the Word of God. You're then filled with the Spirit of God, and you're bearing fruit of the Spirit of God. And you just fall more and more in love with God because your mind is being transformed. You're understanding God's love more and more. Isaiah 41:10, what God says to his people, do not be afraid. Don't be worried. I'm here for you. I'll protect you. I'll guard you. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, when you start to wonder, has God forgotten or forsaken me? You remember the words that God said to his people back then. Come on, can a mother forget her baby at her breast? Can a mother not have mercy on her child? Though an earthly mother may, God says, I will never be like that. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Look, your name is engraved on the palms of my hands. You see, that's the God you're in love with. That's the God you get to know more and more. And you start to say, this is my God. And you just fall more in love with him. And then that love for God starts to overflow into love for others. Again, the supreme virtue, 1 Corinthians 13, hope, faith, and love. The greatest of these is what? Love. Your love becomes patient. Your love becomes kind. Your love becomes persevering and enduring. Your love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Your love protects. Your love perseveres. Because that's the love of God that you realize and that you show towards God and show towards others. And it's a love that, again, is not based simply on emotions. It's based on fact. It's based on the fruit of the Spirit. Christian, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is opposite of the Spirit, and the Spirit what is opposite of the flesh. Walk in the field of the Spirit, and you will bear fruit, not fruits, fruit of the Spirit. Multiple characteristics about one fruit. And the Holy Spirit, Christian, never fails to produce some fruit. God bless you.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.